We are joined now by City Administrator Ben Martig and Mayor Rhonda Pownell. Good morning to the two of you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for being here.
Still really nice outside.
It is. Well, for now.
Yes.
Until the freezing rain kicks in.
Yeah, that's.
But I'm blaming Ryan.
No.
I do not control it. I report it. That's it.
I've always been a big blame the messenger guy, which is why I got into the media to begin with.
Yeah.
But it was it was the year end meeting, which is always eventful, right? Have you guys? I mean, you guys have had. Less than 12 hours to recover. Is everything okay? I mean, did you get enough sleep last night and everything
of
all right?
Yes.
Good to go. Another day.
God bless you guys. All right. So let's start with, I think the truth in taxation hearing is probably the big news from the meeting. How did that go?
It is, but it wasn't.
Okay. Everything was fine.
Everything was fine, and you are absolutely right. I mean, this final meeting of the year really encapsulates 6 to 7 months worth of work for the council deliberating on what is that point that we really want to be at for the tax levy increase, what mm-hmm. needs to be in that budget. What are the non-negotiables and what are some things that we need to pare back to be able to get that levy down? And as a lot of people in the community know, we had a double-digit tax increase. We did go from the original preliminary 17.2% down to that 15.8%.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that that's still high for a lot. It's high for everyone.
It's high for everyone. Indeed.
It is. And double-digit tax increases year over year are really, they're just really hard. And I did say it last night, and I'll say it again now. We really haven't done a great job of communicating the whys, the whats, the hows of this budget and what all it actually affects. And if you start cutting, what that will make life in Northfield here like for people that want to live here and be able to maneuver and get around the city. I mean, it really does. It's major impact to all of us. The city functions and takes different things that we all take for granted.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't just not fund those things.
Right. And Logan was on at 6:30 this morning talking a little bit about this too. I mean, it is about quality of life. It is about, well, a big chunk of it is wages, and when you look at that, I think it goes to police and yeah. some of those things. But at 15.8%, though, what does that entail?
Yeah, so for the median valued home of about $350,000, which is where we're at in Rice County now, it's about a little over $400,000 in Dakota County. The $14 per month increase that you're looking at, most of what's driving that would be related to debt. So 5% increase just on the debt, and it's related to street reconstructions. We've had some really big projects, so a larger full reconstruction year. College and Water Street, just streets that were literally crumbling.
Yes.
That have been, I think the mayor had asked our public works director, and he had said we'd probably been delaying it, you know, 5 to 10 years in recent history to try and get more time out of it. Jefferson Parkway, I think, has been a mm-hmm. really nice road improvement. The mm-hmm. traffic circle seems to be working really well down there. So things are flowing on a major artery into our schools and commuting area for people. The transit hub's in construction, so that's hitting the debt. That's going to be a bus location, maybe long-term passenger rail. Maybe it can come back to the community. A fire truck, a large used police command van and dump truck. Those are all things that are fixed costs. That's 5% increase just on that. General fund, you know, certainly nobody's surprised to hear that, you know, labor demand is challenging for private and public sector. The council has invested in having an independent person look to keep us in the middle mm-hmm. of the pack of our peer cities. But to do that, there's a significant cost that we're looking at when you look at wages and benefits. But we also have only had, on openings of police as an example, we've had a couple couple applicants come in on recent ones, and that's all we've got. And so we have to remain competitive if we're going to have employees filled. And so we're finalizing contract negotiations with all of our labor unions, and that's all getting completed. So that's an 8% levy increase just related to mainly those personnel costs. We are adding a budget analyst, so the mayor's commentary about doing a better job on, you know, communicating. That will allow us to do that, to develop more detailed financial reports, give our finance director, Brenda Engelstad, who's tremendous. She's worked in the private sector, nonprofit, now government, do more analysis to find cost savings to illustrate long-term financial planning. We also have a new mechanic in our public works department that's getting added. We contract a lot of that work out. A lot of it's going to come in-house. There is still a net increase. And then maintenance funds. We've been talking about how we've been underfunding just to take care of the facilities we have. So as an example, in next year's budget, Riverside Park, down along the river there, we have a piece of playground equipment that needs replacement. Mm-hmm. You know, by investing in 2.3% levy increase just to get our building maintenance funds, our parks to all pay for that, that alone goes towards that. That piece of equipment would maybe mean we just take it out and don't replace it if we don't put dollars back into the fund to help build the maintenance. So, you know, playgrounds in our areas, obviously. Right. So these are all hard. I think these are very valued services. I think everybody agrees that, at least I think generally, that we'd love to do all of these things, but there's a cost to it, and yes, an investment that you have into providing these types of services, which another big conversation that we'll probably get to in other parts of the agenda, too, is just, we're about in the middle of the pack on our peer cities for city costs related to property taxes. So, you know, when I look at operationally, when I talk to other cities and my peers and I look at things, Northfield doesn't have particularly unusual higher services that they're provided. In fact, some of the areas are really behind, and we've been, the reason we've had double-digit increases is because of being behind on some of the maintenance and really understaffed that we've had, that over the years we've increased those. But where Northfield struggled, which has been an emphasis, and was, we had major milestones last night we'll talk about in a little bit here, growing the tax base is the other part of the equation. That, right, spending's, yeah, a part of it, but really to bring that rate that we all pay down is, if we can grow with our, help our local businesses grow and bring forward new complementary businesses to Northfield, which I think there's a true opportunity to, we can bring, mm-hmm, that rate of taxes down for everybody. That will help the schools, will help our counties and their social, mm-hmm, you know, service net that they have for people and for our city services, and investing in things like street and infrastructure, which we have to, mm-hmm, do. We want clean water. We need good streets. So ultimately, we know that's a large increase, but those are some of the driving costs that we have when you get to that additional $14 per month that most people will be paying.
Yeah, I mean, it's a huge number to swallow again, right? I mean, we've had this conversation ad nauseum, right? Yeah. But you are talking about things like, I like that you brought up the 5th and Water Street, because 8th Street was a part of that project too. 8th Street was the kind of road I would have expected to drive my Model T on in 1902. I mean, it was not in good shape, and now it looks good. They did a nice job on it. It's no longer the worst street in all of Rice County.
We also didn't have sidewalks. Our sidewalks had ended in that, like, along Water Street too, and my kids used to walk or bike down that street, and they'd be walking right down the middle of the street. Mm-hmm. I'd see other kids as I went to pick them up down there. That's a major corridor leading to our new high school. That's going to be, you know, we're excited to know that we're going to be reinvesting in that. So if we can get safe routes too, it's not just about the vehicles, but it's also getting our kids safely to school.
Yeah. Fixing streets, core city service. Yeah. And one of the things that I asked our city engineer last night too is, like, what's the going cost for a full reconstruction? Mm-hmm. So, and I think he said it was like nearing $8 million, which is really what I remember. Anytime there's a full reconstruction, it's multiple millions of dollars. Yep. It's not inexpensive, and that's why some of those streets that just got done this past summer have just fallen off the docket. People have been in those homes along those streets for many years, and the street was on the CIP and then fell off the CIP.
Yeah.
Well, there's a reason why it fell off the CIP, because it was really, really expensive to get it done, and no one else is going to do that for us. We have to do that, and there's an increase to the levy when you you do those. And I remember years where we've kind of ebbed and flowed. I've worked with, I don't know, maybe four different city engineers during my time. And everyone, Dave Bennett is doing a really great job, but everyone has sort of their different sort of view of how they do their job. And we have not always had a full cycle of maintenance, which includes the seal coat, the mill and overlay, the reclaim, and the full reconstruction. And you've got to do all of those, and you've got to keep those roads in the pipeline so that you are extending the life of that infrastructure. No one's going to do that for you. You can't short circuit taking care of your infrastructure. You've got to do it. And yes, it's expensive, but it's important, and you've just got to keep moving forward with it. It's one of the most expensive things that I think that we do, other than maybe stormwater. Mm-hmm. Stormwater is pretty expensive. Wastewater, any of those utility funds like that, really, those are things that our community really hopes that are functioning well, and they should be functioning well, because that's baseline foundation, and every one of those is significant cost to it.
You make a great point. No one else is going to do it. Wouldn't it be great if there was like an infrastructure fairy that would grant you three wishes every budget cycle?
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
But that doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the state of Minnesota doesn't have any fairies to offer, but yes, they do have some programs that we did highlight that one of the people testifying actually said, because it was in the presentation, they actually submitted a request for a credit. Two days ago, they said that they submitted. So people are probably familiar with the Homestead Credit Program. So if you're a homeowner and it's your single primary residence, there are, you know, tax credits you get for that. But there are some other unique programs. There's a targeted property tax refund or a special homeowner homestead credit refund. And based on increases of 12% or more and more than $100 from the prior year, there are special programs available for people to get a refund back. In recent history, $827 million in property tax credits went out from the state of Minnesota to over 850,000 plus people got that benefit. So there could be benefits with that. We know there are people seniors on fixed income. If you're over 65 and you have income eligibility, there can be benefits related to deferment of taxes as well. So people should take the time to explore that, because they might benefit from some of those as well. Again, that's kind of a side piece, but certainly we want people to take advantage of everything that's out there that's available, because that's part of what the state's providing.
Okay. We're putting the tax conversation to rest this morning. Anything else you guys want to say about the budget or the levy?
I don't think I have anything to add.
Okay, there it is. All right, so let's move on. One of the things on the regular agenda last night was a resolution approving the Seckler Park long-range plan, which I was very happy to hear about, even if I don't know all the details on the Seckler Park long-range plan. What is the plan, and how did that conversation go?
Yes, yeah, so this has been in process for some time. Bolton and Mink and Bruce Jacobson, who's been doing a lot of work around our Riverfront Enhancement Action Plan, all of the parks along the river, and Seckler was noted in there as one that needed some form of a plan. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have kids that play out at Seckler, or you don't ride your bike along Milltown Trail, which is an awful condition, you shouldn't go that way. A lot of people do, but it's in terrible condition. You don't even know that Seckler exists. It's bordered by Armstrong Road. It's heavily treed. Mm-hmm. It's along the riverfront. And so the most of the community, you could have thousands of people out there and no one would know it. Mm. Except for you might see a lot of cars going in by the Quick Trip entrance there by Walgreens. But they really looked at how to maximize the uses and the space out there to improve the baseball fields that are out there, improve parking. Parking has been a real issue out there. They brought in some additional uses, including some pickleball courts, which mm-hmm. I know a lot of people are really excited about. Mm-hmm. Improved the bathroom facilities, playground equipment, added an additional softball field, and then more formalized how the mountain bike trails go around in the area out there, and also some asphalt looping trails through the park, which could be just a really a big game changer for how people move about that whole area out there. Extended two additional bridges that go across Cannon River there. One would connect to where the Compostela, which is out where Semstone and the police station are located. Mm-hmm. And then the other one would locate, I believe it's adjacent to the ice arena. I think those are the two additional locations for bridges there. But it's just it's a long-range plan. Mm-hmm. It's phased. They did just an amazing job of right. making the whole area user-friendly for multiple users of all ages.
So this was approval of the plan. This wasn't approval of you know, implementation.
That's
correct.
Yeah, that's right. But now there is a adopted plan, so we know where to look going forward. You know, Mayor talked to the. There's wonderful trails out there right now. You know, kind of a loop trail. It's just going to be the Milltowns Trail and the Cannon River Regional Trail. This is truly, you look at the new dog park in Dundas. Mm-hmm. You could take, if you're a Northfielder, take a bike ride if you're able down yeah. to Dundas, have breakfast at L&M or Martha's, or yes. if you're in the evening, stop for a beer yeah. down at the at the brewery down there.
Our city Chapel. Administrator, shilling for Dundas.
Yeah, there you go. Yes. Hey, this is going somewhere.
Right. I did roll my eyes at Mayor Schweitzer right there.
When I first got here, that trail was just getting completed right. on the other side of the river here, the regional trail, and they got yeah. funding for that. This truly is, this corridor along the river is really a unique asset, that there's so much publicly owned land, and there is a lot of great amenities there currently. Could they be better? Yeah, we now have a vision. Also opens us up, I think, for funding in the future to get grants to mm-hmm. go after that. We know the Baseball Association historically has said, we want to put dollars into this facility, but we didn't have a plan in place.
Right. Yeah.
So now there's a plan, so we can maybe work with them to identify what the priorities are. The consultant talked about, I mentioned this the other week too, you know, you can attract tournaments that bring economic impact. The state baseball tournament didn't That's happen big. In Northfield yeah. recently because we didn't have, like, the restroom facilities weren't up to their standards and things. That's 1,000 people that would be coming through. It'd be an economic stimulus mm-hmm. to come spend money downtown. The mayor's talked a lot about tourism, sports mm-hmm. tourism as a benefit. So investing in those kinds of things too can also have an economic return too mm-hmm. For the health of the community. So this is the plan now, and now we can work towards that and have a vision mm-hmm. into the future.
Mm-hmm. I would just say Mayor Schweitzer and the whole city council there, they in their support mm-hmm. of the ice arena mm-hmm. facility. I mean, they are really doing a phenomenal job of updating aged infrastructure out there. Yep. And yep. their dog park is better than ours. They've just really, I mean, they recognize the importance of it, and they are willing to put the resources into key infrastructure mm-hmm. along Milltowns Trail there to make their community an engaging and fun place to be, and the infrastructure is in good condition. Yeah. We could learn a thing or two there.
We've had some conversation with City Administrator Janelle Teppin from Dundas about that, with the resurrection of the Dundas EDA. I mean, they've made it very clear that Dundas is open for business.
Yeah.
And I agree with you, Mayor Pownell, that Northfield could learn a thing or two from
yeah,
that.
We certainly could. And I hope we will.
Yeah. There was one more note on the agenda that I wanted to get to. Consider ordinance number 1074, amending gas service franchise fees. Does that mean my franchise fees are going down?
Oh, we took that one off.
Oh, you did?
Here, I'll give you a good transition, though, Rich. Okay. We'll come back to being open for business. But first, I'll say the franchise fees moved into the new year. We're working with Xcel Energy. Basically, this is just an update.
Sure.
We replaced special assessments, which could have been in the mm-hmm. you know, thousands and thousands, like $5,000. Yes. Wouldn't be uncommon on our prior special assessment. We replace that with a gas and electric fee that everybody pays, whether you're a taxable property or not. And we're going to update it every so many years. So that time has now come. So it's not new spending, but it would, in the, you know, that debt increase we talked about, we're going to be in the new year updating those fees to basically shift some of those dollars from the property tax to those other fees, but that'll be implemented next year. But maybe we could transition to being open for business, because we had the second reading was approved of the rezoning of over, I think it's over 350 acres of new property that we'll have available for industrial. We actually, the mayor asked to move a late add of information to the packet to the regular agenda from consent.
Oh, okay.
That included some text amendment, final text amendments on the second reading of the industrial zoning changes. But basically now, as of January 1, the city of Northfield will be open for business for more than 350 acres of new and light industrial property that has been planned for over 15 years to grow our tax base. And we talked about that earlier.
Yeah, absolutely. Just really important. This is that other side of the budget. Mm-hmm. And in my 15 years of serving, economic development has really ebbed and flowed on the level of importance to the policy setters that have been in office at the time. Mm-hmm. And clearly, we've had a lot of stuff that we've needed to take care of. But it's time for this one. Economic development needs to stay the number one priority of the City Council. And we have four members of the City Council that will be continuing on in the new year. They know and understand the journey that we've been through. And this, getting this land zoned appropriately so that we can adequately address the business inquiries of entities that want to locate in our community is monumental and has that ability for us. This is the flip side. You have the budget is the expansion of dollars to meet all of the services. If you want to decrease the burden on both the commercial and the residential here, you've got to expand the tax base. And this is one of the ways that's been identified for many, many years to get this accomplished. And I'm just really pleased that that was the second reading last night. 350 acres is pretty substantial.
That's a big deal.
The amount of industrial property within Northfield, 20 acres, maybe. And some of it is heavily wooded. It's not ideal. Yeah. And there are entities out there, and you look just to the north of us. Now, regardless of whether or not you might, whether you like the industry that's going in to the north of us or not, the point is, industry is going in.
Yes.
And we need to be in the game. And so far, we have been out of the game of our own choosing. We as a community have been out of the game of our own choosing, and that's on us as policy setters and as appointed leaders. Anytime you have constant turnover in either your city staff or your elected leaders, some of these things, these are long-range efforts that have been in place. And in order to gain traction on them, you've got to have some sort of consistent vision and commitment to a policy agenda, and this city council has had it. It's really been the top priority since really 2021, and so this was a really important moment last night for not only the Northwest area to get that taken care of and some of the industry, I think, that has been identified as would be complementary to what we already have, includes research and development, renewable energy manufacturing, information technology, medical, pharmaceutical, food production, and processing. So those are some of those key industries that are will be targeted for appropriate for moving into our community, as well as growing our existing ones, our existing businesses in the community. And that's a really important component to this as well.
I agree. And Let me just say, far be it for me to be critical of the this city, Northfield's EDA, because those guys are fantastic. That Nate Carlson and Jake Riley are really good people, and they're doing a great job over there. I just want to make sure that
yes.
I'm not being construed as critical of them. Absolutely.
No, but I mean, if you haven't been involved long enough, you don't see the regular churn. Mm-hmm. It's been a revolving door. within community development. It's a key department of your city that extends services to business. You want to grow your business community. You want to be more business friendly. You've got to adequately staff that department. You've got to have some consistency in your elected and appointed leaders that have this as their top priority.
I would say, too, is that that is one area coming into Northfield that I was kind of I continue to be a little surprised on, but certainly was when I came, is that I've heard a lot of, I continue to hear a lot of feedback related to budget and things. Mm-hmm. But again, I think there's still a disconnect where I don't have the same people saying, what are you doing to grow the business? Where in the communities I've come from, that's always been front and center, right. And that's pretty typical. So right. I think like just educating the connection of those two is important. Mm-hmm. The other piece is it's you also need private landowners to be supportive too. So we can rezone it, but if there isn't support and interest of the owner to do anything with it, you either have to say, well, does the city get involved to acquire land to help incentivize, mm-hmm. which we're not proposing to do at this time. But fortunately, in that 350 acres, a major landowner in that area we are working with, and they are supportive doing new development, and that's really critical as well. So mm-hmm. it's not easy. We have the infrastructure mm-hmm. out there to support a lot of new business, and we have plans to be able to add new infrastructure. So this area really is primed with this rezoning. The council really has put it over the top to get this ready to go. So we're really at a shovel readiness now on a site out there that really wasn't before.
Mm-hmm. That's good news. Mm-hmm. All right. You guys, we're way over time. Mm-hmm. I appreciate you giving us this extra time. It's an important conversation to have. So I thanks.
Yeah, in your news update, I mean, Logan was there through it all, too, the 5th and Washington project, and the TSP architect. We approved that contract last night and have some really, you can't just focus on the Northwest. Mm-hmm. Very, very important. You can't. Mm-hmm. You've got to do that. But you also have to continue to look for redevelopment opportunities. And 5th and Washington is a key one there. And there was some important conversation around that last night as well.
Okay. Well, we'll keep following it. You guys, thanks so much. We really appreciate it. It's always good to see you.
Yeah, thanks.
We'll see you next week, Mayor Pano?
Maybe.
Okay. I got my fingers crossed.